Well, I mean, I can tell you that the party was founded on the premise that we were there to serve the people of Zambia, which, I mean, sounds a bit corny. But nonetheless, when we eventually defeated the MMD, we found it stashed away sums like $500,000 under the floor, $200,000 worth of bicycles, so on and so forth. And I was simply making the point that we hadn't gone into this business to make money. In fact, we would have been much, much better investing in something else, because it had taken us 11 years to get into government, and our appetite to get into government had nothing to do with making money.
Now, Mr. Vice President, some people have said that there appears to be infighting within the PEF government, and that they attribute it to the supposed or alleged corruption, and that is why there appear to be infighting. What do you say to that?
Well, you have called on a very auspicious day. The Anti-Corruption Commission has basically released information on its investigations into two of our ministers, two of our cabinet ministers, Winter Kabimba and Geoffrey Mwamba, Minister of Justice and the Minister of Defence, respectively, who were accused or had been accused of corruptly dealing with government procurements. And it has cleared both of them. Now, unless you believe that we also have a corrupt Anti-Corruption Commission, I think you have to accept that a fair amount of noise was made and the noise turned into nothing. I'll give you another example. The other day we had an allegation brought to Parliament that following an escape by a few death row prisoners, 16 prisoners who hadn't escaped had been beaten up and killed in our maximum security prison. And it turns out not to be true. But, you know, it's awkward, the dirt sticks. But at least the Anti-Corruption Commission has come through and said that they have nothing to prosecute on. There are deficiencies, they say, in the administration of the government, but nothing that suggests anyone's stolen any money.
Mr. Vice President, some of these opposition parties are saying that the government is stifling democracy and is making opposition parties' life uncomfortable in Zambia through intimidation and harassment using state institutions like the police and the anti-corruption agency. What do you say to those allegations?
I say to those allegations several things. The first thing I say to the allegation is they should get their own house in order if they want to be an effective opposition with a hope of coming bouncing back into government. You know, they've got their own infighting. They've got their own inability to form a solid front. And that's what many of their real problems are stemming from that. They're not stemming from anything that we are doing. I think they're being misadvised. I think, you know, there is a problem of introducing lawyers into politics, because lawyers always want to sit before a judge and win the argument against the other side in front of the judge. The trouble is with politics is you have to win over the hearts and minds of the people. You have to win elections. And it's simply not what they've been doing. They've been sort of crying and even asked for the Commonwealth to step in. I mean, the Commonwealth has only ever stepped in cases like Pakistan and Nigeria and Fiji and South Africa, where really severe human rights abuses were evident. So I think it's all a bit over the top, really.
They cited the government move to remove the impunity from criminal prosecution of former President Rupiah Banda as one of the examples of government harassment and intimidation.
Let me say, first of all, there's no government move to remove the immunity. There are some individuals, some people, inside maybe, but mostly outside government, who are saying remove the immunity of the previous president. That's exactly what the MMD itself did to Frederick Chiluba in about 2002, if I'm not mistaken. They removed the immunity, that they got parliament to vote to remove the immunity of Frederick Chiluba, the first multi-party president of Zambia. Now, the argument then and the argument now has to be, if you're a believer in sort of the kind of purity of the law, is that their ultimate defense is their innocence. I mean, do you have courts in Zambia that will send people who are innocent to jail? And the answer is, apart from in cases of mistaken identity and lax research, I don't think Zambia is a country in which innocent people get sent to jail. No one has certainly claimed it on a political level. So, you can talk up a storm if you want about how oppressive any regime is, but the fact is we're a popular regime. We're winning more and more seats, parliamentary seats, having started with a very narrow majority. We're winning more and more support, more and more accolades. And, we've been voted in for the next, how much is left now, 3.5 years, in order to make this a better country.
Now,
not impressed.
One opposition party member is saying that the president should try to help reduce tension in the country. Now, what is your stance on that?
No, I mean, I think it generally stands for election as president every time there's a presidential election, right? Which is every 5 years. Only once about four years ago, we had an election because of the death of one of our presidents. He always stands, and he always gets less than 1% of the vote. And at one stage, he was quite popular and looked as if he might stand a chance when he was Minister, I believe, of Education. Yeah, that's right. He was stepped down from Vice President to Minister of Education, and he organized the education sector effectively. But, I mean, who is he to be telling us what's appropriate, what's not appropriate? He's just sort of shooting off his lip, and some journalist picking that, putting it in the paper. Then the Voice of America comes along, reads the paper, and sticks it in their broadcast. I don't think it's central to issues here.
What would be your message to Zambians, in regards to all these allegations flying around?
I think the trouble with allegations is that we're very good at them in Zambia. We have very little recourse to the law when they're made and they're false. You know, we have a sort of gossip body politic rather than one that respects the laws of libel and defamation and so forth. And they should believe, and most Zambians do believe. I mean, Michael Sata was tremendously defamed during the run-up to his election as president. He was even photographed, you know, cameras shoved up his nostrils virtually to make him look like, you know, some kind of devilish character. And people just discounted it. Zambians, I think, have learned to discount false, I mean, you know, optional falsehood, I mean, voluntary falsehood. And so I'm much less worried than you might be.